So, in Luke chapter 8, or chapter 18, verse 8, it is recorded that Jesus asked the question. He said, "When the Son of Man comes," and I think he was talking about the second coming, "will he really find faith on the earth?" When the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? And I think that's something that Jesus was pondering, concerned about. Although, when you read the prophecies in the Bible, it talks about a remnant that appears that they do have faith. So there will be some that have faith when Christ returns. In this account, at the beginning of this account, it says that Jesus was encouraging his disciples that they always ought to pray and to not lose heart. And that's something for us. We all can never forget that we always ought to pray and not lose heart. Or if we do, we will lose our faith. We lose heart. It's dangerous to our faith. I mean, you consider scriptures like 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, that says, "In the last days, perilous times will come." And Revelation tells about a time of persecution and trials that this world has never seen before, like this world has never seen before. The people of God will need faith. And it's important for us in times when things aren't quite so bad to develop faith. As we're growing as Christians, we should be growing in faith. We should be growing in that quality. And so the Bible gives us examples of men and women who had faith. And did all the people in the Bible have faith? Well, what about the people of Israel? Did they have faith? Let's just look at an account over in Deuteronomy chapter 32. This is toward the end of Moses' life. You know, the people of Israel had special things happen to them. They had special instruction. You would have thought that they, of all people, probably would have had faith. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 20. And this is something Moses spoke toward the end of his life. And this is something God had told him, said to him. And he said, and this is God saying, "I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end will be. For they are a perverse generation, children in whom is no faith." The children of Israel did not truly have faith. And this was a serious indictment against these people. The people who had seen the plagues in Egypt, you know, plague after plague, and some of the plagues toward the end, they did not affect the Israelites. They just affected the Egyptians. It had to be divine intervention to cause these things to happen. They saw the death of the firstborn, and the death angel passed over their homes on the Passover. They saw the Red Sea open up like a road through the Red Sea for them to escape from the Egyptians. And then they saw the water come back down on top of the Egyptians after they had safely crossed. They had seen the manna on the ground every morning, at least 6 days of the week. And they saw the quail coming in every evening to provide food. They saw water coming out of the rock. Still, these people had no faith. If they didn't have faith, how can we have faith? Or you know. But the scriptures say that we need to have faith. Okay, so that's what it says about the Israelites. What does the scriptures tell us about Moses? What do the scriptures tell us about Moses? Hebrews chapter 11 mentions Moses as a man of faith. Moses was a man of faith. So today I want to review the first part of the life of Moses and how he grew in faith. It's quite a story when you just kind of look at the story. I found it quite inspiring to me. I guess I never kind of put some of these scriptures together in the same way or never really focused in on it, because what I want to do today is kind of focus in on just three different parts of the Bible. The book of Exodus, of course, which talks about Moses, but then the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, which tells us about his faith, and also the book of Acts, Acts 7, where Stephen talks about Moses and his faith. So we want to consider Moses, look at his example, and consider ourselves and in our faith. And we can learn from Moses' life, we can learn from his example, we can learn from his faith. So, the first thing to do that I want to do is, what is faith? So, you know, I've been talking about faith. Let's look at Hebrews chapter, I want to go to Hebrews chapter 11 at the start, and just look again, and you've heard this before, it tells us what Paul thought faith was. I mean, faith is a big subject, and this I'm just going to be able to hit part of it, but these are some basic things. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. He says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The substance of things hoped for. It is, substance means reality. The reality of things hoped for. It's like, you know, your reality is you're here today. But the things hoped for is you're going to be in the kingdom tomorrow. It's a reality to you. We hope for it, but when we have faith, it's a reality to us. The evidence of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen. It's the proof in our minds. The things that we haven't seen are really going to happen, that they are true. The proof in our mind that there is a God that created this universe. We have all kinds of evidence in our mind. The more evidence we have, the more faith we have. The evidence of things not seen. And then it says, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. And the elders is referring to the true believers in the Old Testament. The true believers did truly have faith. They did believe in the reality of God and what he said. And they had a good testimony, which means they had God's approval, that they were pleasing to God. And Moses was one of those who had a good testimony by his faith. Then verse 3, it says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. And this is a foundational point of faith. It's the reality that God created the earth and the universe. And it's the reality that it was created by, to us, an invisible being. And it was not made by things that are here that we see. It was made by something that was invisible, that we don't see. And so that is a basic thing to our faith, is our belief that the world was created by this great invisible being called God. Now skipping down to verse 6, he says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, or to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Here is another foundational point about faith. We have to believe that he is, and we have to believe that he is a good God. We have to believe that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. We have to believe that he is on our side, that he is there to help us, he is there to encourage us, that he is there wanting us to do what is right. So when Moses had faith, he believed these things. He truly believed in the creator of the universe, and he truly came to believe that God was a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Over in verse 39, the same chapter, just skipping the rest of the chapter for a moment, toward the end of the chapter, and it says, "And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith," that means they received, they were pleasing to God, "they did not receive the promise at that time. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us." So really what this is saying is that this is available to us to have the relationship with God, the same relationship that they had, to be able to have a good testimony from God to be pleasing to him. It is something that we should desire and that God wants us to have. It's saying that we can have the same destiny, that we can be a part of the kingdom of God, that we can be a part of the resurrection at the same time that they are resurrected. So this thing about faith, he goes through this faith and the examples of all the people that had faith, but it was there for the encouragement of the true people of God today, their encouragement, their edification. So what did Moses do specifically? So now we're going to focus in specifically on Moses. We kind of talked a little bit about faith in general. But let's focus in a little deeper, and maybe we can understand a little deeper about faith and what faith entails and how faith is developed. So we'll look at the account. It starts in verse 23 of Hebrews 11, verse 23. And it says, "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command." So, whose faith is it talking about here? Is it talking about Moses' faith? No, in this part of it, it's really not talking about Moses' faith, because he was just a baby. He didn't have faith. But his parents had faith. His parents had faith. That's made a big difference for Moses. Exodus chapter 1 tells the story about his parents. And in Exodus chapter 1 explains there was a new king in Egypt who had not known Joseph. So he worried that all the Israelites who were multiplying were becoming too numerous and too powerful. And he worried that they might team up with some of the enemies of the Egyptians and try to overthrow the native Egyptians. So he issued an edict, this Pharaoh. He issued an edict. The midwives were to kill the Hebrew baby boys when they were born. So the midwives, you know, they couldn't bring themselves to do such an evil thing, to their credit. So they didn't do it. They didn't kill the baby boys. Amazing. Even though there was tremendous pressure to do so from powerful authorities, they didn't do it. So what do you think happened to those midwives? Well, not what I would have thought would have happened, because the account says nothing bad happened to them. Miraculously, it says that God dealt well God dealt with the midwives. God blessed the midwives. He dealt well with the midwives, and he provided households for them. So they ended up having their own families. The midwives, they feared God. They trusted God. They had faith in God. They are an example of faith for us when you really look at it. And one principle of faith is true faith fears God and not man. True faith fears God and not man. So when you find yourself fearing man, that's probably not the faith that God's looking for. But when you fear God, that's a good thing, because God knows what is best and has instructed us what to do. So that didn't work. So the king of Egypt issued another edict. Every Hebrew male child was to be drowned in the river. It became the law of the land. So if you didn't do it yourself, then the authorities would do it. So imagine the fear that was in the Israelite society at that time. That, you know, this was a terrible thing. This was had to live under that kind of a law. But that was the world into which Moses was born. And Moses was born to an Israelite couple of the tribe of Levi. His father was, his name was Amram, and his mother was Jochebed. And they were really good parents. They hid Moses for 3 months. Somehow they got away hiding him for the first 3 months. And then they couldn't hide him anymore. You know, babies make noises, babies cry, and how they did it for 3 months is amazing. So I'm sure they prayed about it, because it seems like they were very godly people. It's the faith here that's talking about in verse 23 is actually the faith of the parents. The faith of the parents, they did not want to destroy this child. And they didn't think it would be God's will to do that. And they were rightly thinking that. So they made a basket of bulrushes, and they placed Moses in this basket of bulrushes on the river. And they were doing this in faith. They were doing what they could to save Moses, and they were putting it into God's hands. Maybe God inspired them to do that. We don't know. It doesn't give us all the fine details, but it just kind of leads you to believe, yes, God probably inspired them to do this. Somehow, they were led to do this. And Hebrews tells us that by faith, they were not afraid of the king's command. They were not afraid of the king's command. They were afraid of God. And that's quite an amazing thing when the king has power to kill you and your children. But they believed in the reality of God and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. They believe those two principles, the reality of God and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And amazingly, as the story goes on, Pharaoh's own daughter rescued the basket and took Moses to be her child and raised him to be her son. And in another amazing turn of events, she got Moses' mother and sister to help her raise the child. So Moses' parents had faith. They did not give up. They did not give in. They did not allow the king to win over them. So they had faith. Now, Over in Acts chapter 7, we don't have to go there yet, but I just want to quote a piece from there. Acts chapter 7, verse 22 tells us that Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. That was a summary of Moses in his younger life. He was very educated. And when you think about it, who wrote the first five books of the Bible? That's an amazing thing when you really think about it. The first five books of the Bible were written by Moses. There's so much history in the book of Genesis. Where would he have learned all that stuff? Or where would he have learned to compile it and organize it? And then all the genealogy and all the just so many things. He was a scholar. It says he was mighty in words and deeds. He was educated. He was smart. He was strong. He was powerful politically. And he was rich, because he was part of Pharaoh's court. And it says, even indicates, that he was a good speaker. And we could see that later as he was in the wilderness with the Israelites. He spoke often to the Israelites. Great sermons, great prayers. He was a great speaker. Didn't always have confidence in himself, but he had a lot of talent. He seemingly had it all. But there was a problem in his mind. There was a problem in Moses' mind. And everything in his life was not right. You would have thought this guy has everything a person could want in this world. I'm going to pick up the account now over in Exodus chapter 2. I'll look over Exodus. I'll be going back to Hebrews 11 occasionally. So Exodus chapter 2, and in verse 11 is where I want to start. So it doesn't tell us a whole lot about his early life, but somehow we see from the circumstances here that he had a good early life, and evidently his mother and his sister had quite of an influence on him and some of the things that he believed. Anyway, it says, verse 11, "Now it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown," and Acts chapter 7 tells us that he was probably about 40 years at this point, 40 years old. Anyway, "that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens." So for one thing, he considered the Israelites his brethren. He knew that he was truly an Israelite and not an Egyptian. So he went out and saw the unfair burdens that the Egyptians were putting on the Israelites. He saw that it was very unfair. He saw, and then it says, "and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren." And that really got to him when he saw this Egyptian beating cruelly this poor Hebrew who was just, you know, I don't know what he did, but anyway, it really made Moses angry, and it was unjust, and it was cruel. And in his anger, it says, "so he looked this way and that way, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand." So he did an awful deed. I'm sure it was a moment of passion for him. Anyway, "and then when he went out the second day, behold, two Hebrew men were fighting, and he said to the one who did the fighting, 'Why are you striking your companion?' And then he said, 'Who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?'" Now, I want to stop there. Somehow, in Moses' mind, he rationalized killing this Egyptian. And let's turn over now to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, verse 25. How would Moses have rationalized this? Verse 25. It says, and it tells us again that he struck down the Egyptian, for he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand. Somehow Moses had been taught that he was going to deliver the Israelites from Egypt, even as an early age. Now, the Bible doesn't really give us the account of when that happened, but except for here. He thought the rest of the Israelites would understand. He was going to be the great leader of the Israelites. And, you know, one Egyptian, I mean, it's going to involve some blood probably getting them out, I mean, in his mind, getting him out from under the Egyptians. So that's kind of how he rationalized this killing. But somehow, you know, it wasn't the time for him to deliver Israel. And he suddenly realized, no, maybe that wasn't true, or I don't know what. But anyway, he got no encouragement from the Israelites, as we can see from the scripture there. They said, who made you a ruler and a judge over us? So after that, his faith was low. Moses' faith was low. He felt very discouraged. He really wasn't the deliverer that somehow he had in his mind he was going to be. And so in verse 14 of Exodus chapter 2, again it says, who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you kill the Egyptians? And then, so Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. And when Pharaoh heard of this matter, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. So someone saw what Moses did and told the Egyptians. So the king sought to kill Moses. So, you know, the world as Moses knew kind of came to an end. Here he had kind of gone across the boundary. He was no longer accepted by the Egyptians. He wasn't accepted by the Israelites. He had no more power. He had no more riches. He had no honor. He had no friends, basically. So we look over here in Hebrews chapter 11. Go back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. I should have kept my place there. Hebrews 11, verse 24. Now it's talking about Moses' faith. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he looked forward to the reward. Now this scripture reveals us a lot about what was in Moses' mind at that point in his life. Now just a couple of little things about the scripture. When it talks about Christ here, it's talking about the Messiah. Esteeming the reproach of Messiah. It also means anointed one. Can mean anointed one. Well, Moses himself was an anointed one. He was anointed by God. And he was also himself going to be a Messiah to the Israelites. He was going to deliver them from the Egyptians. And he, as their Messiah, received reproach after reproach after reproach. You know, but to him that was better than the riches and the treasures of Egypt. It's an amazing thing. Moses saved the Israelites from a physical, sinful nation. Christ saves us from physical sin and our spiritual sins. So, you know, he understood about the future Messiah too. So it could be talking about that there, but I think it's talking about both. And it says he forsook the pleasures of sin. The court of Pharaoh had many opportunities for sin. You could have had any woman you wanted as your wife. To have more than one, according to God, is sin. He could have engaged in drunkenness and orgies. He could have been cruel to all of the slaves for his own personal benefit. He could have, you know, dealt in all kinds of things for evil purposes. But he rejected all of that. You know, he says, it says that he rejected that he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater than the treasures in Egypt. And he chose to suffer affliction rather than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin. Because sin can be pleasurable for a moment, but it is very temporary. That's another important point, and I think Moses came to realize that. He was a wise person. He realized that sin does not satisfy. So Moses chose to reject it. And you see here that what he did was a choice. He chose to suffer affliction. He made a choice. And that is faith. Oftentimes is making a choice. You're making a choice to trust in God rather than trust in man. So he made a choice, and he made a wise choice. So he chose to defend the people of God. He chose to suffer indignities at the hands of evil men, just like Christ suffered indignities at the hands of evil men. And Christ chose to do that too, to his credit. Both Moses and Christ stood up for what was right. Both had faith. Both looked to a reward, because God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It doesn't say here exactly what reward, because the last part of this verse, it says, for he looked to the reward. It doesn't say what that reward was. It doesn't say what it was. We can speculate. I was talking about maybe the reward of the promised land, because he knew about the promised land that he was going to deliver the Israelites to from Egypt. Maybe it was the kingdom of God. Maybe he understood that. Whatever it was, he looked to the reward. The point is, Moses had faith even when he was a part of Pharaoh's family in Egypt. An amazing thing. He was a part of this royal court, and he had faith in God. And that makes me think his family, his parents, had influence on him. Someone had to have had influence on him. If nothing else, the Spirit of God had been working with him. So, at this point, though, he did fear the Pharaoh, though. So he went to the desert in Midian. You know, he didn't have all the faith in the world because he didn't stay there and fight. And maybe he was wise. He saw this isn't working out. These Israelites aren't helping. I'm not getting any encouragement from anywhere. Maybe God wasn't encouraging him either. And so, yeah. So he ran away. He ran away to the desert in Midian. And he lived with the Midianites. Now the Midianites just happened to be children of Abraham also. They were children of Abraham by his wife Keturah. And they lived in a desert region over to the southeast of where Israel is, to kind of to the northeast of where Egypt is, kind of in the desert region that is now a part of Saudi Arabia. So it says he went there and he lived with them and he was able to become a part of a family. He had a wife, he had two sons, and he raised sheep and goats for 40 years. Kind of a poor life, but he seemed pretty satisfied, you know. Here was a man with all this talent, all this ability, all this training, and he was out in the desert with a poor family. 40 years passed. The story goes that he was near Horeb, which was the known as the Mountain of God. It's also known as Mount Sinai. And he was taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. And God appeared to him in a bush, in a burning bush. And God talked to him. He didn't see God, but God talked to him out of the burning bush. So I'm now going back over to Exodus chapter 3, verse 7. Pick up the story there. Exodus chapter 3, verse 7. And the Lord said to him, I mean, they were talking, I'm just picking up part of the story. I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. Huh. Same thing that Moses had seen 40 years before. And have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So God sees what's going on. Sometimes he lets things happen so we learn, or maybe he has a purpose. God has a purpose. Sometimes we don't totally understand. But so, I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land, from that land to a good and large land. This is the reward. To a land flowing with milk and honey. Goes on to explain where that is. Now, therefore, behold, the children of Israel had come to me, and I also saw the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So Moses was appointed as the person who was to lead them out of Egypt. Now, 40 years before, I think he was ready for this job, but now, no, he wasn't ready anymore. And you see in verse 11 right away, he says, and Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children out of Egypt? Moses obviously did not have faith that he could do it. Didn't have faith really that God could use him. He really didn't have that. So, you know, verse 11 here is saying that, you know, you better find somebody else. You know, he had seen I think in his mind, the rejection of the Israelites never left him. He realized, these people really don't want me to to help them, you know, and they're not going to listen to me because they don't listen. He kind of had insight. So how did God respond? Verse 12. So he said, I will certainly be with you. I will certainly be with you. And that is something that God says to us in our Christian life. I will certainly be with you. And I'm going to show you a scripture at the end in the New Testament that tells us that God is going to be with us until the end of the age. And it's something we can remember in our Christian walk. When we come upon situations that seem impossible, that seem scary, that seem that it really has us in a fix, God will certainly be with you. God will help us. He does hear our prayers. He does give us His Holy Spirit. So, later in life, Moses could look back and see that God was with him in all of his trials and duties. I'm going to just keep your place there in Exodus, but I want to go over to Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 8. And this was at the end of his life, and it's something he told Joshua. And he says to Joshua, in Deuteronomy, he was trying to encourage Joshua, because Joshua was going to take over the leadership of the country. And the Lord, he says, and the Lord, He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Moses didn't always live up to that himself. But he learned that that was the way it really was. That God does go before us. That God will be with you. That God will not leave you nor forsake you. Although sometimes it seems like He did. And it's the same way it happened to Moses. You look for his life, you see situations where it looked like God left him. It looked like God forsook him, didn't care anymore. But he encouraged them, do not fear nor be dismayed. Do not fear nor be, because that's our human natural response. Okay, so back at the time of the burning bush, Moses was not so sure. So now I want to go back to Exodus chapter 4 and verse 1. Of course, I did not keep my place. Exodus chapter 4, verse 1. Moses answered and said, he was thinking of all kinds of things, how this was not going to work. Humanly, it did not look like to him it would work. He says, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you. I could see that happening. The Israelites, who is this guy? Who do you think you are? You're just, the God's been in the desert and been in the sun for 40 years. Who are you to tell us that God has appeared to you? And he knew how skeptical the Israelites could be. But as we see, God was very patient. And so the Lord said to him, and then he goes through and shows him, I'll show you some things that I'll give you the power to do. I'll let you turn this rod into a snake. And then you can pick up the snake and it becomes a rod again. That's pretty good. Or you can put out your hand and it'll be leprous, but then you put it back in and it becomes unleprous, or vice versa, how it was. But anyway, he could make his hand leprous or unleprous. And it happened. Or he could take water out of the Nile River and it became blood. He says, when they see those things, maybe they'll believe you. I'll help you do those things. So then we go to verse 10 of so that kind of satisfied Moses, and God was going to be with him, he promised. Then Moses said to the Lord, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." So he's claiming he did not have the ability to speak properly or effectively. He had no faith in his ability to do what God wanted him to do. And God was still very patient, but a little angry, as you see in verse 14. Because Moses had said in 13, "O Lord, please send by your hand whoever else you could send. Send somebody else." And, of course, God in verse 11, it says, you know, "Who do you think has made man's mouth? I've made man's mouth. I can make people so they can speak. I'll be with your mouth and teach you what you should say." But that still didn't satisfy Moses. He said, "Send somebody else." And of course, God was a little angry in verse 14. So God said, "I will get Aaron to do it. I know he can speak well, and you know, you can go along and then he'll speak for you." So it wasn't really the solution God wanted, but anyway, it just showed Moses' lack of faith at this point. So Aaron, his brother, would speak for him. So how did that all turn out? So we skip over to verse 27 of this chapter, and he meets up with Aaron. Now realize, he hadn't seen Aaron for 40 years. He didn't know how Aaron was going to react, but he got some real encouragement here. "And the Lord said to Aaron, 'Go into the wilderness, meet Moses.' And he went and met him on the mountain of God and kissed him." Quite a reunion, really. "And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord that who had sent him and all the signs which he had commanded him." And Aaron accepted. Aaron, you know, he was on board. "Then Moses and Aaron went and gathered all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spoke all the words which the Lord had spoken to Moses. And they did the signs in sight of the people, and the people believed. And when they had heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked on their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshipped." So they had a little bit of a different attitude now. So, you know, the people believed. They showed great respect toward Moses and Aaron. So this was all encouraging. I'm sure this is encouraging. This is God's working things out. Moses' faith is growing. Things are working out for him. So, let's see here. Now, they had to go back to Pharaoh. That was the next job. They got the Israelites on board. Now they had to get Pharaoh on board. But God warned Moses that Pharaoh wouldn't just grant their request to let Israel go into Egypt to worship in the wilderness. You know, he's not going to grant your request. So in a sense, he's saying, you know, you're not going to be successful in the first couple of tries here. But trust me, this is all going to work out. It's basically what God was telling him. So they go to Pharaoh and they politely tell Pharaoh what God has requested, that they be able to worship God in the wilderness, 3 days' journey. So Pharaoh, he denies their requests outright, scoffs at them, and on top of that, he increases the Israelites' burdens by making them get their own straw to make the bricks and requiring that they make just as many bricks as they made before. So in Exodus chapter 5, verse 14, it says, "Also the officers of the children of Israel, whom Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and were asked, 'Why have you not fulfilled your task in making brick, both yesterday and today as before?'" So all this brought on the Israelites punishment and beatings. It wasn't a good result of what Moses was trying to do. "Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried out to Pharaoh, 'Why are you dealing thus with your servants?' And Indeed, your servants are beaten, but the fault is in your own people. And Pharaoh says, you are idle. Therefore, let us go. You say, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord, but you should be working. No straw shall be given to you. And the officers saw that they were in trouble after it was said, you shall not reduce any bricks from your daily quota. And when they came, as they came from Pharaoh, they met Moses and Aaron, who stood there to meet them. And they said to them, let the Lord look on you and judge, because you have made us abhorrent in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to kill us. So they basically blame Moses and Aaron. They were angry with Moses and Aaron. You have made things worse. You have not delivered us. You have made things worse. And Moses was discouraged. So what did he do, though? Verse 27, Moses returned to the Lord. And that's what we should do when we're discouraged. Return to the Lord. So, Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? Why is it you have sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people, neither have you delivered your people at all. So, you know, he went and asked God why. But the Lord said to Moses, now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand he will let them go, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land. So basically God says, trust me, this is all going to work out. And you just have to trust me. So after that little talk, Moses kept moving ahead. Didn't have a whole lot of more talks, as we see. It seems like Moses did trust him. Moses did trust God, and things did work out. And we see, as you read through the account now, you see that Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh. It's hard to tell how many different times they went to Pharaoh, but they went probably at least 10 times before Pharaoh. And each time their requests were rejected. Or he would tell them, he would say, oh, I'll let you guys go. Just stop these plagues. I'll let you go. And then after the plague was stopped, he changed his mind. I mean, time after time, you would have thought he would have got discouraged. But Moses endured. And now I want to just flip over to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27 this time. It says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By this time, Moses had totally forsook Egypt, totally forsook the ways of Egypt. He realized that Egypt was going to be, he allowed Egypt to be destroyed with these plagues. That was, and he did not fear the wrath of the king. You realize, he had to come before the king of the land. He and Aaron were standing there. At any moment, this king could have gotten angry and said, away with these men, kill them. Moses, it doesn't say that he feared the king. Every time he'd come before the king, he had courage. He was persistent. He was bold. And he endured. And he remembered the promises of God. God promised to him that it was all going to work out. God was going to be with him. So, he was quite bold. You know, we saw his hesitation at the beginning when this whole thing was going. But when it got into the middle of it, you read the account, there was no hesitation. They went before the king. They were not afraid. So he stood in the presence of the king. And it had that required a lot of faith. But as you read through the story, you see he was in constant contact with God, too. You know, he talked to God, well, this plague didn't work out. And God said, well, go tell him this is what's going to happen next. So, you know, that helped. That helped. But, you know, he didn't waver. He held out. And in his mind's eye, he could see God, even though God was invisible. As the scripture is saying, he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And that is something we have to do. God doesn't show himself to us. He is invisible. But we know he's there. And Moses knew he was there. And so that was part of his faith. So he followed God's instructions carefully. He didn't fear the wrath of the king. Moses, as we can see, was growing in faith. God was real to him. And we see in chapter... One other point that I noticed about this too was a lot of times Pharaoh would try to get Moses to compromise. He said, oh, I'll let you guys go if you don't take the flocks with you. Moses said, no compromise. We got to do it. Wait, God says all the flocks go with us. And then he says, well, I'll let you do it if you just do it in this land. No, Moses stood his ground. He didn't compromise. He said, nope, we can't do it in this land. That would get the people of the land all upset. We've got to go 3 days' journey to do it. So, you know, it showed his character to stick to what God told him to do. So in Exodus 12, we see God's instruction to Moses about the Passover. And I'm afraid I don't really have time to go through that. But you can see here, it says, by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. And by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. So you can kind of go back through and read the accounts. And to keep the Passover, this was the first time they kept the Passover. It took faith to do that. There was estimated 2.5 million Israelites. And they were going to do something new. They were going to have to be organized to kill these lambs. They had to have faith that they put the blood on the doorposts. It was all new. And you know how rebellious and stubborn these Israelites were? Moses was the leader, and he led them with faith. And they actually, you know, the Passover happened because Moses trusted and followed God's instructions. And then when you read the account of them after they left Egypt and they were going, the cloud was leading them by day and the fire by night, so it was leading them though down to the Red Sea, and it got them in a trap with the mountain and the Red Sea, and here comes the Egyptians, and the people were all afraid. They wanted to go back to Egypt. They wanted to give up. And Moses, you read the account, no, we don't give up. God's going to deliver us, and you know he's going to perform a great miracle for us. This is before it actually happened. The people didn't have faith. They were really willing to give up. But Moses had faith. And the account is they were saved. They crossed the Red Sea. And he did believe in the reality of God. He did believe God's promises that God would help them and that they would be successful in going to a promised land, a land of milk and honey. He looked forward to the reward. God had gotten them this far, he would help them the rest of the way. So, you know, God opened up the Red Sea. And for a moment, the Israelites had a moment of faith, but it quickly went away after a couple of days. But Moses came to have a lot of faith. He grew in faith. You can see his faith as he dealt with the Israelites the 40 years in the wilderness. You read the story. He had a lot of faith. Wouldn't it be good if we just had a fraction of the faith that Moses had? Just a fraction of the faith that Moses had. Faith to make the right choices. The faith to fear God rather than men. Faith that is unwavering, that endures. Faith that is steadfast, even when things aren't going right, and when things for a while just don't seem to be working out. Faith that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Faith in a reward that is truly satisfying. A reward that is lasting. A reward that is good for others as well as for ourselves. Faith in a being that is invisible. Yet in our mind's eye, he is right at our side. Faith in a being that says, I will certainly be with you. For Jesus says to us in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, he says to Christians, the last part of the book of Matthew 28, verse 20 says, I will be with you always, even until the end of the age. He will help us. He will help us with our faith, just like he helped Moses with his faith.